Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Chris Ranji is headed out for a long weekend. He will not be with us on Monday either. So it's Brad Thompson, Randy Carricker in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. We head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. And the professor, John Clayton, is with us on the weekend before the 4th of July. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, but not as good as the people in the NFL front office. Did you hear this story?
What happened?
Okay, so Roger Goodell pulls everybody in for a meeting. They announce the promotion of three people in the office, which, of course, they put out in a release. And then he told everybody in the league office, and apparently it's got the biggest reaction of anything that Roger Goodell has ever done. He gave everybody the entire week off next week.
Oh, wow, what a nice guy.
Yeah, how about that?
I think that changes everything that people think about him. John, do you think that next year at the draft that he'll get cheered as opposed to booed then?
No. Let's put it this way. There's not enough league people that are going to be in the crowd to overrule some of the things that are going to be yelled by the fans.
John, let's go across the state to Kansas City. Tyreek Hill met with NFL investigators for 8 hours. What came out of that?
Well, you know, what you wonder is that in several of these things in the past, they've been able to negotiate. And maybe, like in the case of Kareem Hunt, they were able to negotiate a settlement where, I mean, he was able to get the 8 games and, you know, isn't protesting that. So you wonder, did they start doing negotiations in those 8 hours? And I would venture to say that they did. Now, I can't tell you the results because we don't know them yet. And the thought would be that they'll make the decision next week, but then the league office is off. So it looks like it's going to go after the 4th right now, unless they put out some kind of a quick release. But you have to figure it's going to be a minimum of 4. And it probably is going to be a little bit longer than that. It's a guessing game. I mean, 6 games would be under player conduct. You can see that, you know, I think he's going to get something. Because, you know, the fact that he was out there and he had all the difficulties through the last couple of years with his fiancée/wife and all that stuff. And the police, even though they didn't put a formal charge against him, pretty much said that something happened. Something was criminally wrong. And so I think with that in mind, he expects it. But, you know, it probably would be better if they could reach some kind of a settlement as opposed to, you know, battling each other and not having at least the right attitude about this thing. But I think he's going to get suspended.
Well, that's what I was kind of wondering, just from the player's standpoint and from all the stuff, at least on the outside, what it looks like he did. Look, I think he should be suspended. I think it should be for a long time. But how much leeway does he have? How much of a stance can he really take? Can he dig in and say, look, no, I'm not taking that. That's not going to happen.
I mean, minimal, because you know that this is not the court of law. This is the court of Roger Goodell, and he's not relinquished any power in any decisions that he's making. So, you know, if Roger wants it to be 10 games, it could be 10 games. You know, there's no way to overrule it. I mean, you can maybe try to take it to court, but it's probably not going to be upheld because the court's not going to want to get involved in it. So I think that's why a settlement probably would be better. I mean, when you think about the Kareem Hunt incidents, I mean, it still seems to be even more. Now, you go back, you know, there was what Jimmy Smith did much less. Remember, he's the cornerback for the Baltimore Ravens. You know, he got into a little altercation with his wife, and he ended up getting 4 games. That's why you figure the minimum's going to be 4, and what is alleged or at least thought to be happening, you know, with the threats and all that stuff to his fiancée, girlfriend, is one where I think that you figure that if it's going to be a minimum of 4 because of the Jimmy Smith, but this was much worse. So we'll see where it can go. But again, I think the best solution for everybody is to settle.
John Clayton with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And, John, last year there were high hopes for the 49ers, and then Jimmy Garoppolo suffered the torn ACL. We saw here in St. Louis what happened to Sam Bradford after that first torn ACL. What are you hearing about Garoppolo in San Francisco this training camp?
Well, I mean, we still don't know too much, I mean, other than the standpoint that what he ended up doing was going out there the last practice play of the mini camp, and he threw a touchdown pass. And that was it. I mean, everything else had been on 7-7, and so he didn't do anything on the team drills, but he did do enough, I think, that there's encouragement, and he should be all set to maybe start training camp. Again, the fact that the injury happened a little bit earlier than a lot of the ACLs, that probably gives him a good chance, but the thought is he should be there, and when you start to put together teams that may be surprise teams or teams that are going to be improved, you have to look at this team, because I think that, you know, they're getting a lot of injured players back. They still have some injured players. They've really upgraded on the defensive line, and you know they got good offensive coaching with Kyle Shanahan. So, you know, they're still, I think, a little bit worried about what's going on in the backfield because, you know, they have one running back that's coming back from an ACL tear that's been a little bit slow. But I think that they have a chance with that defense to get much better.
Hey, John, over the last handful of years, one of the most entertaining teams to watch, especially from an offensive standpoint, has been the Steelers. Now, we all know the Steelers are different now. There's no Antonio Brown. There's no Le'Veon Bell. What are the Steelers right now? Are they still a team that we can look at and say, all right, they can be an offensive juggernaut? Or what is their identity at this point?
I still think they can be pretty good because one thing that the Steelers do better than just about any other team in football is draft wide receivers. You know, they drafted one that they thought was going to be a little bit better last year, but he looks encouraging in James Washington. Juju Smith-Schuster is already a 100-catch receiver, so he's a Pro Bowler. They've got a Pro Bowl running back in James Conner. Are they going to be as potent offensively as they were 2 years ago with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown? No. I mean, because Bell at that time was one of the best, if not the best, back in football. And Antonio Brown, you can say for 6 years, has been the best wide receiver in football. So you throw all that together, you know, I still go back to what happened in Seattle last year. They had some similar issues with guys not liking each other and guys starting to fall apart. And so Pete Carroll cleaned up the locker room. They weren't as talented with all the defensive guys that are no longer there, but they won more games in the previous season. They won 10 and went to the playoffs. So right now, and I know having just come back from Pittsburgh, they're talking about the locker room is so much better than it's been in the last couple of years, and that can help because they still have talent.
And, of course, one of the reasons that the locker room perception was bad was because of Antonio Brown. How have things worked out so far, and we haven't even gotten to practices yet, for training camp practices, with Antonio Brown and John Gruden? You think they're going to be okay?
They'll struggle because, I mean, Antonio likes to do it his way, but the one thing that, this is where the unique thing that Mike Mayock and John Gruden have over everybody else, because remember, they toured around and did the broadcasts and all those different things, but they were allowed to go to practice. Like, for example, Mike Mayock estimates that he may have seen 20 practices with Antonio Brown, and the thing both Gruden and he learned and have revisited once he got to Oakland is how hard this guy works. I mean, this guy is absolutely methodical as far as his work ethic to a point where you don't get Antonio Brown, you get the Antonio Brown team. What I mean by the Antonio Brown team is that, you know, they come in, he has a nutritionalist, he has social media people, he has trainers, all these different people that go around with him in a group, and he wants to do it his way, and he works very hard at it. So they're very impressed by that, and it's one of the reasons why for the last 6 years, he arguably was the best receiver in football.
Well, certainly adding talent like Antonio Brown has a lot to do with it, but when you're looking at John Gruden and the game plan, his maybe blueprint of getting things straightened up and figured out over there, what does it look like to you? Like, what has to happen over there in Oakland, soon to be Las Vegas?
Well, what has to happen is patience, because it takes time to turn things around. And you look and you say their first mission was to go ahead and try to get the offense better around Derek Carr, give him as much as possible. So even though it was a little strange to get Richie Incognito, you know, that was a little bit of a depth issue. They gave him another guard because that's their weakest area on the offensive line. But to get him Tyrell Williams, that was good because now he's got a big, tall receiver. Now you got Antonio Brown. They got a first-round running back in Josh Jacobs. You know, they were able to get Doug Martin back. We'll see where they are in the offensive line because I'm a little suspect of $16.5 million right tackle Trenton Brown. But Overall, they're better on offense, but they're young on defense, and that's going to be the concern. Remember, they only had like 13 sacks last year, and even though they've added three defensive ends, we'll see if they can get that much better. But again, they're on the right track. It's just going to take time.
John, last thing from me. We had Isaac Bruce in studio earlier, and we're talking about the quality of the NFL's product right now. Since the last CBA and since the time that coaches lost a lot of their time with players, and the product clearly isn't what it was when we had the greatest show on turf here. Is there a chance that players will acquiesce and allow themselves to be handled more by coaches in the next CBA, or is the product that we see right now going to continue to be what we see?
I don't know if it's going to change the product, but I think it's going to change in the standpoint that I think you're even going to have less time with the veterans. And I think you can see that from what we saw in the OTAs. A lot of the veterans, more so than I've ever seen, just didn't participate. I mean, they may have been there, but they just kind of stood on the sidelines and tried to save their bodies. My guess is that they'll probably need to cut down the OTAs. The wise thing would be to put maybe a three-day period at the beginning of training camp where you can get the guys in, because now you have that 5-6 week break, which I think is a little bit too long. And so they'll be a little bit less time. So, because they're not necessarily getting a bigger percentage of the pie, that means that they're not going to put out more time to be able to do it. They want more time on reserve. So I think it'll be a less, and that will affect the quality of the game, as it has.
Hey, John, we're seeing more and more states now passing legislation about sports gambling, and we've already seen the NFL make, their first steps in at least aligning themselves with some partners. Do you see anything changing throughout the year? I feel like there's a lot of things that go into the sports gambling aspect of it when it comes to maybe even the CBA, salaries. How do you see this changing the landscape for the NFL?
Well, I mean, the big thing you still have to worry about is, the integrity, because now there's going to be more people that, want to try to change the whole thing. And, of course, it's going to be different. But I think that, everybody now accepts there's going to be more revenue. The NFL was the one league that resisted it the most because they're fearful that, some things will happen with players or officials or things like that. But I think it's now accepted, because I think we've watched in Vegas, particularly with the basketball tournaments in college, how it's been pretty well policed. It's been pretty good. But again, they have to be wary of it. They have to make sure that they don't go too far. And certainly, they're going to be trying to get both players and clubs trying to get as big a percentage as they can, because it's a lot of money.
John Clayton, we always appreciate your time. Have a great weekend and a great Independence Day, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, sounds good.
Appreciate it. That is the professor, John Clayton, joining us here in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Cardinals in San Diego. Dan McLaughlin will have the call for the Redbirds and the Padres tonight. Danny Mac joins us next on 101 ESPN. Dan McLaughlin is now published in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, so apparently he's just become too big for radio at 101 ESPN.
What? He's published?
Yeah, he wrote an article that was published today.
Good for him.
He's a big star. He's got ScoopsWithDannyMac.com going. He's got Cardinal Baseball tonight in San Diego against the Padres. After you do the pregame show, of course, with Jim Hayes.
Well, we'll set him up for success.
Yeah, it's just kind of the way it works.
I tee him up, he knocks it down,
He does. Dan has been so passionate about getting MLS to St. Louis, and that's what his piece in his op-ed in the Post-Dispatch is about. And he really has, we talk about Albert using his platform and Chris Long using his platform, and Dan has used his platform to better our community. And he should be proud of himself. I'm proud of him for doing that, because not all of us, I don't do that. I do some stuff, but not to the extent that he has in regards to trying to bring MLS to St. Louis.
Well, he is, as you know, he's crazy busy. Like, just his normal schedule is busy, but there was a lot that he put into the MLS stuff because he cares about it, cares about the city. So it's awesome to see that, and just hope to see this thing, end up coming to fruition. I mean, that's the biggest thing.
Let's go to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line right now here on 101 ESPN, and our friend, Cardinal broadcaster, and the man who makes ScoopsWithDannyMac.com go, Dan McLaughlin, is with us. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing great. The weather is, well.
Oh, is it okay?
Santiago. It's perfect.
Right, good for you.
Did you go play golf today?
I did.
I like that. Where'd you go? And who'd you play with?
Rancho Bernardino or something like that, but It was great. I mean, every time I come out here on the West Coast, when we're not in the middle of a trip and it's the first day of a trip, I'm usually up by about 4:30 or 5 because I get up early at home, usually around 6 or 6:30. So by 6 or 6:30 out here, I'm ready to roll. So that's what I did.
Good for you.
Did you ship your sticks or did you rent sticks? I mean, what'd you do here?
Well, there are particular rules that we have with the club. And my daughter, who I'm very proud of, qualified for a major event out here in San Diego. So they came out here to meet me for a day to play golf and for her to check out the course that she might be playing on.
Hmm.
And it was a scheduled vacation for my kids and my wife, because we really, as a family, don't take any because I'm gone, I don't know, I guess essentially from like February this year, I think it was February 12th until hopefully a deep run in October. So they're in school, old enough now where we don't take them out of school. So to answer your question, they brought my sticks and we all played as a family. So it was really cool.
Did your daughter beat you?
My oldest son beats me handily. My youngest son, who's 10, beat me this past week. And yes, my older daughter did beat me.
Those are proud moments, though, aren't they? I would have to think.
That's especially the way I look at it.
Especially with your daughter qualifying for this. Real quick, this is a big deal that she's got an opportunity. One of the best golfers in her age group in the country. Is that right?
Well, I mean, she had a good day to qualify, and she played well and is headed to the Junior Worlds. So
awesome.
She is going to be competing against, some of the top players, not only here in the country, but in the world. And she's really nervous, but she's a sweetheart, and we'll have fun with it. And as I told her, I said, look, you compete against the course. You don't compete against the people you're playing with, and just have fun with it. So sports is great. Sports teaches kids failure. It teaches them winning gracefully, respecting your opponent, all those things that are cliche. But, man, golf really teaches you humility. And I'm humbled every time I play. And, you know, maybe with her and with my other kids that really enjoy the sport, that's something that they get out of it because it's a life sport. And what I find is that we go play together and we actually talk and hang out and find out what's going on with each other's lives. And I kind of like that. So I've always tried to make a point ever since you were little to put a golf club in their hand and have some fun with the game.
Dan McLaughlin with us on 101 ESPN. And Danny, before you came on, and I don't want this to sound condescending, we were texting back and forth last night about your op-ed in the Post-Dispatch, and I'm really proud of the way you have used your platform to try to better our community, and specifically with the pursuit of MLS. And you showed it again today with your piece in the Post-Dispatch. And I think not only me, but I think all of St. Louis should be thrilled and happy with their baseball broadcaster that you're doing what you can.
Well, I appreciate it, Randy. And I tell people, and it's a mutual admiration society here, but when I first started, as you well know, I was at KMOX, and I was your producer on many Saturdays and Sundays, and you were unbelievable to me. And I watched how you went about your business and saw firsthand what Jack did. Jack Buck, and others, but specifically you guys were so good to me, and especially you, Randy, and you taught me the right way. And I think, you know, whether you agree with what I have done with this, with MLS or not, have an understanding that I'm very passionate about the city. Having grown up there, my mom still lives in the city limits, and I looked at what was going on with the Rams, and frankly, I was very, very pissed. And so when I saw my young son cry, and I've never seen him cry, and ask me questions and try to figure out what was going on, and I just thought, you know, what's going on here? Why are we doing this? Why is this happening to this city when it doesn't need to? And I also am very close with Dave Peacock, and I saw the time and effort that he did put in, and this is after he was done with Anheuser-Busch, and that was done on his own. And I just thought with having this show and other shows and baseball, and people know what I do and who I am, you know, this is something that's very important to get behind. Now, I am very passionate, as you know, about a lot of charities in town, but this is something different. And this is something that I think as a St. Louisan and as a sports fan, I really wanted to get behind. And I've said it since day one. I'm not the biggest soccer fan. I have season tickets to STL FC. My kids love it. They play it. They play. Two of them play at a high level. And I know they would love what's happening potentially with soccer coming to town. And I just don't think as a city we can sit back and get kicked in the gut and let things happen like this. We can either sit back and say, woe is me, or we can try to do something about it and pick ourselves up. And I made that speech in front of the Board of Aldermen, and I guess that was in October or November. And since then, the momentum that's been created by the Blues has been tremendous. You always know the support that you're going to get from baseball, but this is something different, and it's a marketplace that's different. And if you read what I wrote, it's beyond sports. And if you listen to what I said, it was beyond sports. It's about having people working downtown, creating a buzz. The corridor that would go up and down Market Street would be tremendous. And for anybody like myself, lucky enough to go to Game 6, and I was at Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals, I mean, there is a buzz and energy in our town. And we can't allow ourselves to sit back and not take advantage of that and build upon it. And the other thing that we have with the Blues and the Cardinals is local ownership. And you can always sit there and debate. Hell, I debate all the time where their money is spent and how they spend it. But I can't debate the fact that they're spending money. Cardinals are among the leaders in payroll. The Blues spend to the cap. And they're local people that care about their sports and the people that follow them. Now you add in a Jim Cavanaugh and a Carolyn Kendall Betts and the Taylor family and female-led ownership and me being the father of two daughters, I mean, it's a slam dunk. We should get behind this. And the ask wasn't on the general public. And so when all those things came together, and I know I'm giving this a long-winded answer, but I want to explain myself, I thought that not enough was being done to get the word out. And so that's why I got involved. That's why I called Jim on my own, and we started this relationship of trying to do this. And obviously, it's made an impact, which I'm extremely proud of. And I'll be really proud when my kids are there, hopefully opening night, and enjoying it and the rest of the town, because these are good people that are doing this for the right reasons. They don't have to do this. And they've got all the money in the world. They could be investing in different things, and they could be leaving this town, but they don't. And I'm a sports guy, and they happen to get involved in the world of sports. So there was a synergy there, and I'm excited about the prospect of what this could mean for our city on many, many fronts.
I think our listeners are with you. And by the way, we encourage our listeners to go check out the piece that you wrote. It's at stltoday.com, and it's well worth the read. All right, Dan, switching to the Cardinals right now. I don't know if when Mike Shildt made his remarks to the media before the second game against the A's that he knew that it was going to blow up the way that it did. And there are obviously different emotions, and people hear things different ways, perceive things different ways. I'm interested for you, when you heard just him talking about his team the other day before the game against the A's, how did you take what Mike Shildt was talking about?
Well, I talked to Mike yesterday for a long time about it. And we talked also about the blowback. Some people have had good vibes. Some people have had bad vibes towards it. And the one thing that I took away is that he is doing what he feels is best for the 25 guys in that clubhouse. And that's first and foremost. And whether you like what he said or not, he's always going to back his players, which Mike Matheny did, Tony La Russa did, and so on and so forth. So, you know, I think when people sit there and look at those comments and say, well, you know, he's living in fairy tale land. I don't think that we all expect him to come out and go, well, you know what? I'm glad you guys are here. I'm glad the Blues are here. And, oh, by the way, we have a bunch of players that are underperforming, and we're expecting a lot more from them. And, you know, I'm just really upset about the whole thing. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen with any coach. Now, you can debate whether he needs to put some guys on notice. Well, believe me, he's done that behind closed doors. To borrow a phrase in a way that he described it to me a few weeks ago, he said, I've done the equivalent new school of what would be the old school flipping the spread. He said, I've done it. He said, I've brought in guys individually and got after them. I brought coaches in to get after them. You know, we've talked to guys as a group about getting after it and a sense of urgency. And so those things are being done. And so the way I took it was a guy that is defending his team. Some of it I agreed with, some I didn't. But he's going to go, you know, to the great lengths that he can to get his message across. And I know that some fans, you know, want immediacy. We all do. We want now. We want winning. And I get that. And that's part of being a fan. But I think that you still have to go back to the basic premise that he's there to protect his players. And is he doing some of the things that maybe you want to hear? Yes, those are being done. They're just not being done in a public forum or in front of the media. And so I think that he took that time to kind of clear the air and get some things off his chest and let it rip. And he has a great relationship with the media. They respect him. He respects them. And he's been very, very good to myself and others that are there every single day and in that clubhouse and in his office. And, you know, I hear his frustration. And he is frustrated. But there are certain things that he's done that have cleaned up the team. And so when you look at those comments and you say, well, is it an exciting brand of baseball? Well, you got to get on base. Okay, and Mike is not the one that's sitting in the batter's box swinging the bat. The things that he can control, which is running game, both preventing it and making sure that his guys are aggressive, is really good. Stolen bases, first to third, top three in the league. Defense, much better than it's been a year ago. And so maybe the bigger question is, you know, not so much the manager, but, you know, at what point does he pull the shoot on certain players and say, hey, we got to go a different direction because we're run out of time here in 2019. And they're not. It's not even the All-Star break. But we need to do some different things. And I think maybe going forward we'll see that. It's his team. He's ridden on a lot of buses. And, you know, and my point is,
did we just get hung up on by Dan McLaughlin?
Well, if so, I will tell you this. If he did hang up on him, on us, that was one of the most clever ways to do it. I've never really thought about that. But if I ever want to get out of one, it's got to be middle of a word. It's got to be, well, the point, gone. Because that was that was genius. And when we get Dan back, and I'm guessing we will, maybe the wheels are already starting to turn with that because, as you mentioned earlier in the show, Tommy Edman's leading off again.
Yep.
And he's in the lineup. Maybe that's part of the churn. Maybe that's part of the on notice is, look, I got to get guys in there that are doing the job for me and getting it done. You do. There is so much baseball left to play, but there's also an urgency to win ball games because, you know, you're not going to win a World Series in June. You can lose one, though.
And as Yogi Berra said, it gets late early. We're at midseason now.
It's true.
So it happens in a hurry. And is a half a season enough for Matt Carpenter? Is a half a season enough for any player? I think it is. And I have no problem at all. I'm glad that they're doing that with Edmund. I hope that they can get Paul Goldschmidt going, but it wouldn't break my heart if they would give Paul Goldschmidt a series off either, just to reset, take a deep breath, and maybe figure out what's going on.
You know what I wish that the Cardinals had, and I really just don't think they have this guy, and maybe, you know, it ends up being Tyler O'Neill. We know the upside is there. But I just wish there was somebody at AAA that was just knocking on the door.
So that'd be great.
Let me in. Give me a chance and let me run. I just they don't have that upper echelon prospect that's right there on the brink as far as the position player side goes. It would be nice to have. But somebody's got to spark something. I know for a fact Goldschmidt is not this guy.
No.
He is not this guy. And just look back at everything that he's done throughout his career, and it tells you he's not this guy. And certainly it was a slow start last year. But look at the overall numbers. Look what he was able to do by the end of the year. The numbers that he put up after the first couple of months of the season were amazing. They were ridiculous. They were perfect. And it's just been slower this year. But that can't last for an entire season. There's no way.
No, you wouldn't think so. And a lot of times when a guy moves to a new team, we've seen it a lot of times that a guy has moved to a new team and struggled with that new team, but did wind up getting things going. And Danny Mac is back with us here on 101 ESPN. You were talking about Mike Schilt and his what he has done with these players and how he has tried to get them going. And Danny, while you were while you dropped out there for a second, is everything okay, first of all?
Everything's okay. And by the way, people outside Petco just got an impassioned speech on what he was trying to do, but nobody in St. Louis.
That's all right. Sometimes.
Here's the gist of it. The gist of it, what I was saying, is he's protecting his players. I'm sure it took some people aback because we haven't heard him speak like that. And he's heard about the blowback and knows about it. But the bottom line is he's protecting his players, and some people looked at that night with the Blues and saying, well, you know, maybe Berube should, you know, address the team or players on the Blues. And the point he made to me was, he's like, man, I talked to Craig Berube the other day for 45 minutes in my office, and many of our players are close with the Blues players, and they talk about competition and what needs to happen. So here's the bottom line, you know. The guys that are struggling right now, and we can talk about his press conference. We can talk about should he have said this, shouldn't he have said that. Here's the bottom line. If Carpenter hits and Goldschmidt is Goldschmidt, we're probably not having this conversation. And going forward, that is what has to change, is that players got to be better. They've got to be the kind of player that they've been in the past. And if they're not, then this team's probably not going to go into postseason play. If they are, then they will.
Tommy Edman leading off at third base again tonight. Is that a message to Matt Carpenter, or are they just giving him some days off to get straightened out?
I think it's a good question, Randy. Last year, or it was 2 years ago, they gave him 3 days off, and it was to get his swing right, and he just was working, and then he went on a tear. That might be part of what's going on here. Tommy Edman also has produced. And that's something to, you know, consider, is that he had a couple of hits the other night. He was 2-for-2, and the rest of the team at that time was 0-for-18. So he's a guy, though, that I think on this trip with the DH is going to get a look, because you can play in multiple positions. And that's something that you have to consider going forward, is that this guy is producing, he's playing well, he gives you a little spark, and you got to ride him out. I would say this, though, with Tommy Edman. If you're relying on Tommy Edman to be the guy to lift you in the playoffs, that's probably the wrong way to look
at it.
And as I said before, it's got to be the guys that have been here before for a long time that have produced that have to get back to that level. And if they do, they've got a chance to win.
And Dan, the Cardinals do start tonight. It's a 9-game road trip, and understandably, I'm sure some of our listeners haven't paid close attention to what the Padres are doing, but they're a 500 ball club right now, and they're definitely a team that the Cardinals can't sleep on. This offense is good.
Absolutely, and Manny Machado has been on fire, and they've got guys that, like you said, they play here, and you don't see a lot of their games, and they're playing late on the West Coast. I was really impressed with them in St. Louis when I saw Hosmer, Tatis, obviously Machado. I mean, those are big players. Those are great players. And they pitch well in that series, too. So question will be, you know, whether you can keep those guys in check. And for the most part, the Cardinals have been pitching well enough to win games. It's just the offense hasn't been there. So I'm looking forward to it. I think guys, and you can speak to this, Brad, but I think guys like coming out west too. A lot of them are from the West Coast, and they've got family and friends out here, and it's a cooler weather here in San Diego. It'll be chilly tonight, and you just feel good out here. I mean, it just feels good to the body, and I would imagine that, you know, the Cardinals, there was probably, you know, something that'll be done today to talk to the team and say, look, we've got 9 games before the break. Let's push. all these teams are either at 500 or well below, and they're not playing well at home. So let's make a push. Let's be the team that we think that we can be and should be. And if they do those things, then I think this would be a good trip. Everybody catches their breath at the All-Star break, and then you move forward and see what you can do in the second half.
Daniel, we'll be watching tonight. I promised BT a text after the game. Well, he does the post game, so I'll be tuning. I'll probably bother you during the game at some point.
I like it. You always give me good texts that make me think of stuff, so I use them and fire away, man. I need all the help I can get.
You're great. Have a great weekend. Have a great 4th of July, and we will talk to you on the radio in a couple of weeks.
That sounds great. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, brother. That is the great Dan McLaughlin with us on 101 ESPN. Now we're going to head down the stretch with a game of Would You Rather. Get your text into the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Would You Rather next on 101 ESPN. Getting ready for a little game of Would You Rather here on 101 ESPN. Get your text into the Hot Shots text line at 65780. So, BT, do you think I should go out and ride my bike again?
Tonight it's raining.
Well, no, but my bike is fixed now.
Okay.
So should I get back up like when you fall off a horse?
Yeah, you get right back on, Randy.
That's
you're
what
one
I'm
of those
do.
Guys. You're a gamer. You're not just going to stop being a biker just because you have one fall.
I think I'll pick it up in the morning and go for a ride tomorrow.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah. I'm either stupid or I'm courageous, one or the other.
Oh, let's go with courageous.
I'm going to go
Everybody
with that.
Falls on their bike. Remember when you were a kid, you probably fell on your bike all the time.
I never fell, but I did run into a parked car one time.
Did you really?
Yeah.
So I still have a very vivid memory of one bike fall. So I was going really fast down the sidewalk and about to cross over a street to the other side, sidewalk on the other side. Well, there was a little gutter, like kind of like right there in the street, like a little just, you know, gully for water to go through. Mm-hmm. And I somehow jumped off the curb and into this and just ate it and skid all the way across. And I pop up, and there's like three girls standing right there. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm so fine. Everything's fine. Still remember it to this day.
I'm not
crying.
It
hurts so bad.
You're crying.
Doing the laugh cry. Oh.
Big Sis, what do you got for us?
Would you rather see Goldie go back to number 44 or see Marp wear gloves?
Goldie, 44.
Oh, I'd rather see Matt Carpenter wear batting gloves. Oh, he puts them on, and then all of a sudden it's like, holy crap, you guys been wearing these the whole time? It's like cheating. He is a professional hitter, mm-hmm. all right? And look, it's been working for him for a really long time. I got DH4 in high school, so this has no relevance. But I know this. When I hit with a wooden bat mm-hmm. and I don't wear batting gloves, it, like, almost every one of them stings. It, like, hurts the hand. I put on batting gloves, and I feel like I'm freaking Albert Pujols.
Right.
Now, I don't hit the ball hard. Or yep.
I think even people that used to play softball back in the day when they were younger.
You just strap them on, yep. You're like, it's go time
yeah,
now.
I must be cool now.
Here we go.
Yeah, let's go hit.
Oh, man, I want to see it.
We've been talking about jobs and, you know, first jobs, things like that throughout the show. Would you rather go back to your first job or your worst job?
First job.
Yeah, I'm going Brew Crew. I'm going first job. Yeah. It was Babies R Us, Brew Crew. Yeah.
My first job was an independent gas station. It was called Onyx. It was right here on Olive. You know where the Valvoline oil change is on Olive here?
Yeah.
That's where it was. And so I just sat in a booth, and I took people's money after they paid for gas. So that job was actually pretty good. And, yeah, I told you about my worst job, which was putting boxes into boxes after people had put boxes into boxes.
Box on box on
and
box.
Then some more people put those boxes into boxes. So that was pretty bad. So, yeah, give me my first over my worst.
Would you rather have to eat pancakes or waffles for the rest of your life?
Oh, one of those two? I'm taking waffles.
Great question. I think I am going to go... You can put anything on top. I get pancakes more than waffles, but I would go waffles too. And the cool thing about waffles is that you can put strawberries or cherries or syrup or chocolate. You can put anything on either one of those.
You can put anything in it too. You can put it in the batter and cook it. The reason I'm picking waffles also, mm-hmm. first of all, I just like waffles better. But I think that you can do them different ways. Like you can make them crispier if you want something crispy. You can cook them less, and then they're more, you know, of a pancake consistency if you want to. Just feel like there's more options here.
Back in the day in San Francisco, there was a place called the Sourdough Puff Store. And what they did was they deep fried sourdough and it made like a bread puff. Oh. And you could put in either savory or sweet things. So you could put like ice cream and chocolate syrup if you wanted, or you could get strawberries and cream in it, or they would make like garlic ones with mushrooms and stuff. All of them were fantastic. And I think that's what you could do with, like you talk about making a crispy waffle, you could put some different savory things in there or sweet. So yeah, waffles could be really interesting, and you could have a lot of variety.
Well, now I want some sourdough bread, though. You give me a loaf of sourdough, I'm very happy.
Joey Vitale is going to bake me some sourdough bread, so we'll bring that into the studio.
That sounds so good.
I have to bake him a carrot cake, but we'll take care of that.
That's fine. That's a nice little trade-off.
Apparently, his sourdough bread is like off the charts.
I love sourdough.
I do, too.
You know what else I love is just a really fresh French baguette.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I mean, I get one of those things. You just put it under your arm, walk it out of the place.
Yeah.
I can eat that whole thing.
When you would travel with the Cardinals to San Francisco, did you ever go down to the wharf and just get the clam chowder in the bread
Hell
bowl?
Hell no, Randy.
Oh.
That's seafood. I don't eat
that's
no
right.
Seafood.
You didn't get that.
Mm-mm.
But the bread bowls were delicious. That would smell horrible for you. That would ruin your day.
Yeah, I don't really like the clam chowder that much.
But everything down there is seafood. Yeah, I wasn't putting that in perspective.
I'm a waste of a couple places.
There's a Bodine Bakery right next door that you would love because it has all kinds of great sourdough
items. Now we're talking.
Do you guys do scones at all? Do you like scones?
Yeah, scones are okay.
They're so dry. I see them everywhere, and they look delicious, but they're always dry.
Like, if you give me the choice at Le Bon Boucher up here on Olive,
so good.
Between their chocolate croissants. Yeah, or their chocolate chip scones. It's what's it mean?
The good Boucher.
Oh,
I think.
Bobby?
Le Bon.
You are multilingual.
Yeah.
But I would go with the croissant over the scone every single time.
I don't remember last time I've had a good croissant. It's been a while. It's been a while. Buttery, flaky croissant.
Yeah, delicious.
You mentioned Bobby Boucher. Would you rather see someone do a real golf shot like Happy Gilmore or a real tackle like Bobby and the Waterboy?
Oh, I'd rather see the golf shot.
I think I'd rather see the golf shot, too. That was stupendous what he did.
Yeah. Because I think that you see a lot of good tackles still.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, he was something special. Bobby Boucher just had a little something extra.
Well, but that hit that Isaac took from Damon Moore in the 2001 opener in Philly, that was like a Bobby Boucher hit that he took. Got him down to the 12-yard line to set up the game-winning field goal. It was unbelievable. But nobody has ever done what Happy did in terms of the distance that he got and the way he swung the club.
That's right, Coach.
That's all you need.
The coach knew everything about him.
Would you rather...
And LeBron, look at it, you.
Would you rather...
Holy man. That's cool, man. I like to see homeboys naked. It's cool. No, boy. Oh, wait, Megan.
Would you rather spend an hour talking life philosophy with Mike Schilt or spend an hour talking sports with our mic dropper, Alan?
Alan is fantastic. I'd rather talk, though, to Mike Schilt for an hour. Mike Schilt. All right, Alan, forget it. I'm going to go with Alan. Mike Schilt is very knowledgeable, very thoughtful. I like watching him when he's in the scrums, and you could see his wheels turning as he's answering a question.
Because he's thoughtful.
He's thinking through every aspect of it.
I'm with you on Alan, though.
Birds.
Yo!
Yo, it's me, Alan. Oh, my gosh.
I think I'd rather do that.
Yeah. What's your favorite animal? Bird.
Blues. Would you rather every Cardinal game start at 9 p.m. every single night or at 10 a.m. on the weekends?
Oh, 10 a.m.
Yeah, 10 a.m. on the weekends.
Yeah, get in, get out. I'm a firm believer that all of the home games should be 6 o'clock instead of 7.
Why not?
Well, most people are off work at 5,
right.
I guess. I mean, not us. We'd be a few innings late.
Yeah, that's okay. Good call. I'm with you there.
And would you rather see all of Kroenke's teams go winless in a single season or see the Patriots go winless in a single season?
All of Kroenke's teams.
Yeah, I'll go with those teams, too.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Although
the Patriots, we're used to it.
Yeah, but it'd be fun to see them go winless.
It would be kind of nice.
Yeah, Rams would be even more fun, though. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
There's your producer, Brad Barnes. BT.
Hey, shout out to all my old school Babies R Us peeps. My man.
Pretty awesome. Ron's left early. He will not be with us on Monday.
He's probably driving and listening.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, as John Kelly would say. Our board operator, the great Mike Ryder, headed off on vacation. And we appreciate Mike's hard work. He will not be with us next week for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. By the way, Monday we're at the Folds of Honor Golf Tournament at Whitmore, so we might see you there. For all of us, thanks for tuning in, texting in, and being a part of the show, as our friend Ron Burgundy would say.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.